Folks, it's wonderful to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us once again every week, giving us wonderful updates. We've got a good one today. Remember, you can go in the description box below this video, andweknow.com/gold. Click on that throughout this video, and guess what? You can actually reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team and have a conversation just like I'm having now for your finances and more. They are absolutely amazing. They've helped our family out. And we look forward to you reaching out to them and hearing back from you. So today we've got some amazing updates, one of them especially focusing on Putin and Russia and some other things maybe in Iran to talk about, Yellen and more. I wanted to show this one first for us right here. What do you got on Putin successfully using gold to defeat international sanctions on Russia?
So this is an interesting one. Putin's a smart guy. Right. So I got to say, he and Xi in China are actually playing a masterful game of potentially destroying the Western financial empire and banking system. I mean, they really are. I don't like to say that because I'm an American, right? And I want our currency to be strong, and I want us to, you know, get back to what God intended our country to be. But you know what? They're playing a masterful economic warfare, political warfare, and we're actually just losing. I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind. So Putin, let's go back to when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started. What did Biden do? So he thought he was kind of Mr. Smarty Pants, and he says, okay, I'm going to kick you out of the SWIFT system, right? Which was the way to get wires back and forth. So Putin goes to Xi and says, hey, we've got a problem. And, you know, goes to China and says, we got a problem here. We got kicked out of the SWIFT system. Oh, don't worry about it. We've got our own program SIPs that you can use. And we're going to use that for the BRICS nation. So you can still get money inflows coming into Russia. So what Biden did was actually solidify a marriage between Russia and China. They already had one. Like, BRICS has been around for quite a while, but they put that relationship on steroids, right? Because now they're connected at the hip. And this caused everything from the de-dollarization of the world. They just really want to attack the West. And so we talked about this last time, how countries are now wanting to repatriate their gold, right? Because they're afraid of what the economic sanctions, the weaponization of the dollar that Biden's going to putting on these countries that don't agree with him.
Right.
So all these countries are wanting, we talked about the Freedom of Information Act. But what Yellen is doing is actually making matters worse, right? So Yellen, basically, okay. It's kind of funny, but it's so weird. If you were Putin and Yellen said, hey, you know, those assets that we froze, you know, the almost $750 billion of gold that we actually froze and you can't access anymore. Mm-hmm. That would make me mad enough already. Right. But what if she were to say, we're going to give it to Ukraine?
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
All the countries on the planet that she can say, we're going to give your gold to Russia, it's Ukraine. It's like, oh my word, they're going to tick off Russia so bad, right? And so really what she's doing is about to destroy the financial system in America. And I've got a theory behind it, right? So
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So she did that. And then we're not alone in basically doing stuff here to Russia. So the in Brussels, the European Union tells Russia, it's like, hey, you have some gold that you're storing for Romania from like 1915, and we're ordering you to give 91.5 tons of gold back to Romania. Okay, so this is a clean, family-friendly show, so I'm not going to repeat what they said, but basically Medvedev told the European Union, direct quote, F you, except said the real word, right? It's like, right. Oh my word. So what are they doing? They're going to Russia and they're saying, A, we're going to take all of your money, or all your gold, and you're going to force to give 91.5 tons to Romania. And all the stuff that the United States actually froze because that's a common thing for countries to freeze other countries' assets if they have access to them and they're at war with each other, right? So, but to give it, to give something that you don't own to another place is just going to create more and more conflict, right? And so here's Biden, this supposedly self-appointed diplomat of the universe, saying, hey, I'm not going to actually create more tension between Iran and Israel, so we're not going to back Israel at all because I'm a good diplomat, right? And I'm here to reduce tensions. Yet he's creating so many tensions with Russia, it's insane, right? It's absolutely insane. So this is why the rest of the world is wanting their gold repatriated back to the homeland, because we're weaponizing the dollar. We're taking people's assets that actually aren't ours, and we're giving them to other countries. And in Russia's case, to Ukraine, right? Which is like the worst of the worst, right? It's so I think what they're doing here is actually going to be more destructive than what meets the eye. Because over the weekend, last weekend, when Iran started shooting, you know, drones with bombs on them at Israel, right? So what happened there was it caused even a bigger coalition, because what did Iran do in January? They joined the BRICS nations, right? So that's part of BRICS plus plus plus. So Iran, Ethiopia, Argentina, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, they're now part of the BRICS nations. It's not just Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa anymore. They've got 6 of the 9 largest oil producers in the world as part of the BRICS nations. So here's where Iran, who just attacked Israel, is part of the BRICS nations. And over the last years, but the numbers have come out recently, the East owns and controls more precious metals than the West. So the China, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, you know, the Eastern countries own more gold than London and the United States for like the first time ever. So whenever you control the majority of something, you control it, right? Like if you were the majority shareholder in a company, you get to control that company. You get to vote in the president and all that other stuff. So what did they do when China is now the majority owner, or the BRICS nations, the majority owner of precious metals in the world? You know what they just did? They stopped or slowed down, but I think stopped the price fixing ability of the West on gold and silver. So when you look at what they've done, the Western banking system wants to keep gold and silver prices suppressed. Because when gold and silver go up, but especially gold, when gold goes up, it's a slap in the face against central bank money creation.
Okay.
Because it's this flight for quality. People say, I don't trust central bank fiat-based money. I'm going into gold instead because it's real and it's tangible. Throughout history, this has always been the case. So now that China owns the majority of it, China does not want gold and silver prices to go down. You know, the West does, because rising gold prices is slapping the face against central banks and their currency creation. Right. So, but China amassing over unofficially 30,000 tons of gold. Okay. 30,000 tons. Officially, the World Gold Council says they have 5,000 tons, but 5,000 tons doesn't add up when you actually start adding things up, which doesn't surprise me. China lies about everything all the time. Right. So they are the largest gold producing country in the world with their mines. They're also the largest purchaser of gold in the world. So of all the gold that they're mining in their mines, how much of it do they sell? Zero. They don't sell any of it. They keep it all. And they're the largest purchaser. So when you add those things up, 5,000 tons doesn't mean anything, right? So they've got probably 30,000 tons, or unofficial estimates. So one of their goals is to be the world's reserve currency. They need to kick down the US dollar, right? So how do you do that? You cause gold and silver prices to go through the roof, without suppression. The Shanghai Gold Exchange doesn't allow for short selling of gold. They want the price to go up. And sure enough, day after day after day for almost like a couple of months, gold keeps hitting new highs, like historical highs, right? And silver is up over 35% in the last 60 days, right? So all of a sudden, these things start climbing rapidly. So after Iran invaded, or you know, through these drones at Israel, whatever you want to call it, I think it was kind of weird, but I don't know. It's a rabbit trail. I don't need to get into rabbit trail. But if you're attacking a country, why would you have slow, low flying drones with lights on them and tell the whole world it's coming? And it takes hours to get there. It makes zero sense, right? Yeah. But so after that, China makes an announcement. It's like, all this gold that we've been buying, we're shifting gears and we're going to buy silver, right? Okay. So, all the Chinese citizens buying silver, there's billions of them, right? So it doesn't take much for them to impact a market on silver, which is already in short supply. But why would they do that? Well, on Friday, right before the drones, you know, started hitting Israel, and Iran is part of the BRICS nations, the Western banks issued 1.2 billion ounces of short positions in silver. They shorted 1.2 billion ounces. To put that into perspective, total global mining output in an entire year for the whole world is 800 million ounces. So in one afternoon, they shorted, I don't know, 50% more than the total output of the world in a whole year. So they wanted to drive the price down. So these are the big banks. These are like JP Morgan Chase. These are the companies, the financial institutions that are shorting it. So what did China do? They said, we're in this war basically against America, and we can defeat them without even shooting a drone or a missile at them. We can defeat them economically. How? Let's cut off their banking system at the knees. So when there's that many short positions out there, that was just the short positions from one afternoon, added to all the other short positions that the banks have.
Right.
So here's where, when they tell their citizens to buy silver, if silver runs out and Samsung, LG, Tesla, all the manufacturers of the world need it, they don't care what the price is. Because like we've talked about before, a 65-inch LCD TV is not made of 100% silver. There might be an ounce or two in it. I mean, there's not much for solder points on circuit boards and everything else. So, but this is why the manufacturers will pay pretty much any price, because they're just going to pass it on to the consumers. But without the silver, they can't have a final finished product. So here's where it gets really interesting, because if they gobble up physical silver, there's none left on the COMEX depositories. The price goes through the roof. And estimates are that for every $1 above 18, because most of the short positions are at $18. Now, not this new batch that they just had, but for every dollar above 18, the banks are losing about $400 million per dollar move in silver. So from 18 to 29, which is basically where we're at, that's an $11 move. That's almost $5 billion in just losses there. Plus, they now have 1.2 billion ounces that they shorted at around $29. So if China gets its way, and they cause all the China and silver goes to $50, $60, $80, $100 an ounce, which in a short squeeze, that's really easy. Remember, we had a fourfold increase in the price in 2011. It went from 12 to 48. If we're starting at 25 now, we could easily go to 100 if history repeats itself. What happens to the banks? They're toast. They go bankrupt, and China's sitting there thinking, we just defeated the West and we didn't even have to fire a bullet. So I think a lot of what's happening is economically based. I understand that Iran, you know, the Muslims and the Jews have hated each other since Isaac and Ishmael. I get it. There's huge religious differences there. Ideologically, you're never going to get along really, but this to me all reeks of economics. And now that Iran is part of the BRICS nations, it kind of makes sense when you start to connect some dots. And that, but what China is doing by now promoting silver purchases for their entire population rather than gold tells me they just are conducted a shot across the bow to the Western banking system, and we get to participate in it. And I mean, this is kind of amazing. Not participate in the economic war, participate in the results of it, which are gold and silver could absolutely go through the roof. And if we own it, we get to thrive.
Yeah. So you had something else that you wanted to share here. I was going to show you the headline. Fed Chair Powell says there's been a lack of further progress this year on inflation. What is that going on? What's going on there?
Well, we've been hearing for a year that they're winning the war on inflation. In fact, they're going to have 2 to 3 rate cuts in 2024 because they're doing such a good job. But if they were doing a good job and they have won the war on inflation, they would have already lowered interest rates, right? Because for the last seven months of meetings, interest rates have been paused. Pause, pause, pause. We're not going to lower. We're not going to raise. We're just pausing interest rates. Because Powell knows one thing. He said, he knows we haven't tamed this inflationary battle yet. In fact, one of Barack Obama's chief economist said, well, if you use the same metrics that we used in the early 80s for inflation, we're like at eight, we've created 18.1% inflation. It's like 18.1, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was another report that came out just 2 days ago. Who was it? Somebody from the chief economic council for the president said using 1980s style inflation metrics, we're actually between 10 and 12%. 10 and 12%, right? So we're somewhere between 10 and 18% on inflation. That's exactly what my dissertation algorithm would show, that we're somewhere between 12 and 15 right now, not at 3.2, right? So he knows that. Jerome Powell knows that inflation's up at those lofty numbers and that their numbers are fabricated. How do I know that? Because they're not lowering rates. Every single month they pause. If they were winning the battle against inflation, they would reduce rates. But if they reduce rates and they haven't won the battle against inflation, then inflation actually is amplified and it grows even faster. If you raise rates when the world is in debt up to their eyeballs, you create the biggest recession/depression America has ever seen. So therefore, they do nothing. They don't want either one of those outcomes, so they're just pausing, right? So this statement actually shows what we've been talking about is dead on accurate. So we have lack of further progress this year on inflation. Means they don't know what to do. They're going to pause, and I think they're going to pause until like October, and then they'll lower rates just a little bit. So right before the election, so people say, ooh, they're winning this battle against inflation. This is cool. Look, they're lowering interest rates. Let's vote for these people, right? So I think that it will stay paused for a while, but pausing at these high levels is going to pinch banks' profitability even more because people are going to be delinquent on their loan payments. Ultimately, those delinquencies add up to defaults. Banks are already undercapitalized. And I think the big financial story of the year, one of them, is bank failures. I think we're going to get a lot of them again. Number two is I think gold and silver absolutely go through the roof because the pendulum has shifted now to the east and money flow has gone from the west to the east, and the U.S. is losing that reserve currency battle, sadly. I mean, they're losing it hard.
Yeah, and so that brings up the issues that you brought up before, the kind of the more positive side in gold and silver. As of April 12th, I'm looking at Scottsdale Mint. They said gold's gone up 9.7% increase, 2179 to 2391, and then silver went up 2433 to 2877. So that was as of April 12th, not as this recording. And so you brought that up before, and so it seems like it's a great time to jump in and really consider taking your petty cash, whatever that you're holding on with IRAs, whatever, and bringing them over to silver and gold.
Absolutely. I mean, and I would do silver more than gold. Why? Because look at that ratio. It's more than doubling the rate of growth of gold. So when we go into silver right now and over the next 6, 12, 18 months, silver doubles. What do? We sell our silver, go into gold. I can get you almost twice as many ounces of gold then as what I could purchase for you today.
Right.
Allocate into silver, right? Because it's, if the ratio were in the other direction and going more into gold could get you free ounces of silver, well, then let's do that. But that's not where we are. Silver's doubling the rate of growth of gold, and we get to capitalize on that and really thrive in the midst of a horrible economy where politically, economically, socially, spiritually, things seem to be falling apart. Oh no, God's still in control of this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to use some of this mayhem to bring attention to him, right? And watch what starts to happen is times of chaos and turbulence and uncertainty cause people to look into internally into their faith, right? And I think people start to look for the realness that Jesus brings into their life. And I think these kind of times of crisis bring that. But God loves us. He's not never going to let us fail. He's never going to give us more than what we can handle, right? But financially, people think this is more than what they can handle. No, it's not. You just need to know where to look, right? Right. And apply wisdom and discernment and boldness and courage and creativity. Think outside the box, even though your advisor says, gold and silver, ancient relics, that's stupid. It's like, your stocks and bonds are coming down. Gold and silver is going up. Not really so stupid.
That's right. So folks, you can reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott at andweknow.com/gold. It's in the description box below, and they will be willing to help you out and take care of you in this area, especially when it comes to precious metals. I mean, folks, we're watching it grow. It's definitely something that you should really consider, especially the fact that it's biblical, and really be careful out there with your cash, because it really seems to be losing its value, especially in America. So thank you, Dr. Elliott, so much for what you guys continue to do, how you lift us up. You've helped so many people. We get those emails here in the And We Know team, just letting us know how they're just so pleased with the efforts of your team, how you guys continue to lift them up, not only just in the investments, just as people in a whole, and just your love for everyone. And we just want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words. We love doing what we do. Absolutely love people.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. See ya.